God, we ask this day that you would show us those things that you want us to do and teach us those things that you want us to know. In the name of your wonderful Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. The context of the scripture that Jerry just read for us is it's the Last Supper. Many of us are familiar. John takes about four chapters to tell this story out. So it's a rather lengthy description of those last hours that Jesus had with his disciples. But I want to start back a little bit further to let you kind of know and get a feel of where they were in the evening. They started the evening together. They planned a meal together. That's why we called it the Last Supper. They're going to eat, man. Just like any good church group, we got to eat together. They're going to eat together. And they sat down. And when they had all gathered, Jesus took a towel and wrapped it around his waist, and he took a basin of water, and he took a rag, and he went to each of the disciples, and he began to wash their feet. Now, it was common in that day for a servant to do that, to wash the feet of an important individual when they came. But Jesus was doing that for his disciples. He got to Peter, and Peter said, "No. No, Jesus, I don't want you to wash my feet. I should wash yours." And Jesus said, "But if you don't let me wash your feet, then you can have no part of me." And Peter said, "Okay, wash my feet, my head, my hands, everything you got. Let's just do it and get it over with." You don't know if Peter was insecure, prideful, humbled. We don't know why Peter refused. I'm going to tell you a story that will forever change your impression of me. And I'm sorry, but we're going to hear it today. A few years ago, when I was still a runner, before my knees gave out, my wife and I were in Dallas, and we had just run the White Rock Half Marathon, 13.2 miles, in case you guys didn't know what a half marathon was. That would be called pride in my head right now. But back then, I could do that sort of thing, and we were coming back from the event. You know, we'd changed clothes there for our drive back to Bedford, and on the way back, we were talking about the things we had to do that evening, and my wife said, "Well, I need to go get a pedicure." I'm like, okay, whatever. So we stop along the way at this place so she can get a pedicure. Of course, there's nobody in this salon, so they're very hungry for business. So the people who own the pedicure place kept bugging me. "We're going to take you back. We'll take you back." I'm like, "No. No, no, no. I'm a real man. I grew up in Texas. Besides that, I'm a little uncomfortable with anybody touching my feet." So I'm like, "No, no, no." And she just kept on and on. And finally, something clicked in my head. "Idiot, you just ran 13 miles. The thought of somebody rubbing your feet is not a bad idea." So I looked around. There wasn't anybody else there. And I acquiesced. Yes, I did it. Okay, why have you been hiding that from us for all these years? Let me tell you something, that felt good. And I'm not ashamed to say that I enjoyed it. But I was very uncomfortable. There was a lot of pride in me that didn't want to sit down and do that because I had this vision of masculinity. And there was also a big insecurity in the fact I just didn't want the strange person rubbing my feet, you know? But I quickly got over that. Anyway, back to the story. Jesus is washing the disciples' feet. And Peter says no. Jesus said yes. He washes all their feet. But all of that is just to get them ready for the next part. Because only after the washing of the feet are they ready to understand what comes next. Because it's after that that Jesus gives them the biggest assignment they're going to get in their entire lives. When he says to them, "Love one another. This is the new command I give you. And guess what? I've just demonstrated for you how this is going to work by washing your feet. The greatest command is to love one another." Now, one of the interesting parts about John and about this particular passage is water is a very important part of this. Now, we know that when Jesus was baptized, when he came out of the water, God said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So we know God's love was right there the moment Jesus comes out of the water, still dripping wet. And so we know water is a significant part of the message that God is giving us. So Jesus comes out of his water of baptism, and then Jesus uses water to wash the disciples' feet, to prepare them for their biggest challenge, to love one another. Now, a lot of communities of faith, they'll take their baptismal font and they'll stick it at the back of the sanctuary. And they do that for a reason. Because they expect that people, when they walk into the sanctuary, that they can reach their hand into the water. And they can feel it. And they can remember their own baptism. Maybe not the specifics of the event, because either they were a child or it was a long time ago. But they remember the water, the washing, the important event, that outward sign of the inward grace that God was doing in their lives just by touching it. It's a physical reminder. So many times we get caught up in the mental things of our faith that we forget about the physical. Now, I'm going to make everybody real uncomfortable here, but I'm going to pass this around because it's just water. It's just water, and it's Bedford water, so definitely don't drink it. And it's had people's fingers in it, so don't do that. But I want you to touch it. Pass it on to the next person. As we're going through the rest, there's plenty of time left in the service. You guys touch this water because it's important to understand that every time you touch water, it's a way to remember your baptism and to remind you that at your baptism, you were clothed in Christ, Paul tells us. You are never without Christ. Every morning you get in the shower before you start your day, it can be a reminder of your baptism that you are sealed in the faith and you are sealed in the love of Jesus. Every moment, every time you touch, you wash your hands. You can be reminded that you have been given Christ's love. Alfred Hitchcock, the great movie producer, once had a quote, and he said, "Movies are just life with all the dull bits taken out." We don't want to watch Matt Damon brushing his teeth. Well, some of you might, but we don't want to watch for long periods of time people doing mundane and normal stuff, because that's not exciting. We want the gunshots and the car chases. We want the exciting bits of life. That's what we want to go see in the movies. And that's what everybody puts on Facebook and social media. They put the exciting bits of life. And so we get in our mind that that's what is important. But I think sometimes it's the dull bits of life that are very important. If you think about it, what do we know of Jesus? What do we know of his life? A little bit in the beginning. Then we have this long, almost 2-decade-long gap that we know nothing about. And then we have the exciting part of his ministry. I'm here to tell you that for 2 decades, his life was probably filled with a lot of dull bits. He had to get up and go to work. He had to clean the house, take out the garbage. He had to change the oil, fix a flat, well, whatever the equivalent was. He had to do all of those things. But all we get are the exciting bits. But I'm here to tell you, it's the dull bits in life that prepare us for how to handle the exciting bits. I read an article the other day out of the New York Times entitled, "How Would Jesus Drive?" It was an op-ed in the New York Times, believe it or not, it's true. How would Jesus drive? And it's a funny op-ed, but he has a quote from Pope Francis in there, who gave an address on New Year's Eve. And one of the things that Pope Francis said in that address was, "The most powerful people in the world today are normal people being kind to each other in public places." The most powerful people in the world today are normal people being kind to each other in public places. It's a long way of, he's Italian, so it's a long way of saying, love one another. Whether it's that person in the grocery line that obviously has more than 15 items in his cart, or whether it's that person at work that just never seems to shut up. Or whether it's that driver who cuts you off in traffic. How we handle the dull bits prepare us for how we will handle the exciting bits. And I want to encourage each one of you, from now on, water isn't just water in your life. When you get up in the morning and you start your day and you take that shower, you splash the water on your face, remember your baptism. Not the exact day. But remember the promises that were made to you on that day, that you are never alone. You are a child of God. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit. You are empowered by that baptism each and every day to love and to be loved. You're empowered when you take that shower, when you wash your hands. You're reminded of the baptism that empowers you to be like Jesus and to kneel down and wash someone else's feet. But you're also empowered to be like Peter, who allowed the water to wash his insecurities and his pride away, so that someone else could wash his feet. Our baptism gives us the power to not only love, but to be loved. Praise be to the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.